Hi, welcome to Endometriosis Journey to Butterfly. I'm Letitia. In this week's episode, we're going to talk about a couple different things. And it also happens to be a big anniversary for this podcast, which I'll get into a little later. But let's get started. So I wanted to talk about endometriosis and some things that we normally don't talk about. We know different things about endometriosis. We know it causes painful periods. It can cause painful sex, painful urination, painful bowels. We know all of that and how it can happen all throughout the month or maybe just around our period. Endometriosis is very, very finicky. You can be feeling well the first part of the day and feeling horrible the rest of the day, or vice versa, or maybe you just feel horrible in the middle of the afternoon. So many things can happen. Endometriosis is so many different things. It's changing your lifestyle on some level if that needs to be done. Trying to drink more water, trying to be healthy, trying to eat things that don't flare up your inflammation. One of the things they say that flare-up inflammation is dairy. So trying to stay away from all those things, trying to exercise, and just do all of the right things. For some people, that includes medication as well. But one thing that I did not know about endometriosis, and it's really, really not talked about in terms of when you go to research endometriosis, is how endometriosis, depending on how bad it is, can basically destroy some other organs, which is just mind-blowing to me that it causes all of this, and still the only way to identify it is laparoscopic, aka having a surgical procedure. You have to have surgery. There's no other way for them to diagnose if you have endometriosis. I know some people think that you can diagnose it on having an ultrasound. That's not the case. They can look for cysts. If you have a certain type of cyst, then they believe you possibly might have endometriosis. Again, can't verify anything unless you actually do the procedure, the laparoscopic procedure. It causes so many different issues for people because every person is different. So with all of that being said, how can it be that we don't have sufficient funding? I mean, we talked about earlier in our previous episode, we were approved for more funding, but if it's actually ruining people's other, and I just don't understand this. If it's ruining people's other organs, we don't take that seriously. We don't take it seriously enough to try to find a cure, to try to find exactly why this happens, to try to let people who this deal with endometriosis, why not offer them more options besides having a hysterectomy, getting their tubes tied, or taking birth control all the time? Why don't we have more options? Why don't we come up with holistic options? Why don't we do more research? Why is it taking so long for research? This affects 1 in 10. So there are 1 in 10 women. Or it also could be, you know, of all ages. Honestly, it's anyone who has a uterus. So 1 in 10 people with a uterus has endometriosis. That's a staggering statistic to me. So there are what? Honestly, more than 10 women down at your job probably. So when you put all of them together, depending on how many people, you know, think of how many people work at your job. I mean, that's staggering. So 1 in 10. Okay, so we have 100 people, which is a small company, I feel like, but you have 100 people at your company, then 10 women have it. And no, you're not going to be able to tell who has it. No, they're probably not going to talk to you about it. They're just going to suffer silently because we don't like to get other people in our business. And it's really not that easy to talk to others about what you're going through. They don't understand. Will they judge you? Will they just think that it's all in? Will they think that it's something that's not really as bad as you make it seem? Will they doubt you? There are a lot of reasons why we don't share. Endometriosis has gotten backings talked about more lately. We've had some celebrities who have come forward to talk about endometriosis, but it's still something that is not talked about per se, unless you have endometriosis, or you know someone who has endometriosis, or you're in an endometriosis group where that is what they talk about. Other than that, we don't really hear it talked about much. I have, honestly, there are very few people, some, you know, that have heard my symptoms that actually have said, maybe you have endometriosis. Now, that's not too many people, but it does come up at some point. You know, if you talk about it, then the people who are doctors or medical professionals or know about it and know about the statistics do come up with, maybe you have endometriosis. It's not something that is shared, or you go around telling people, oh, I have endometriosis and all of that. For me, I do a podcast and talk about what my symptoms and everything is. For people all across the world, honestly, I have listeners all over the world, and so thankful for that. So I feel like it's still, I do talk about it, I've been talking about it, I continue to keep talking about it, but it's something that, like, if you're a private person like I am, it's just really hard to share all of the information with people when you're not sure how they received it. But I decided that I'm going to speak up and use my voice to try to educate women. I think it's so helpful. Anyone with a uterus is who I'm trying to help. So the hard thing is that you don't always get the care and or treatment that you need. And also, a lot of people don't know much about endometriosis, and some of the different things that can happen is very frustrating. So a lot of women don't want to talk about it, because what happens when you start talking to people about it? They have more questions and they want to know more. So you may or may not want to talk about that. I know one of the horrible things that it causes is it can cause infertility. And that in itself is such a very, very touchy subject. It's something that you don't really go around talking to people about. Infertility, it's just I don't want to say taboo subject, but it seems like people make it that way. If it does come up, which it very rarely does, then it's something that you feel like you really can't ask the person all of the questions that you'd like to. I'm someone who, I'm very inquisitive, so I like questions, I like to ask a lot of questions, answers, all of that. So I do know that one of the big things with endometriosis, or actually, I feel like some women find out about endometriosis, is due to having problems with infertility. So infertility affects 30 to 50% of women with endometriosis. 30 to 50%. So let's go out on a limb here and say that there's a chance that half of every person that has endometriosis has infertility problems. Now, that's a big number. 30 to 50%. 30% even in itself, I feel like, is a lot. But you can go up to 50. Wow, that's just mind-blowing. So, some of the symptoms that we have can be persistent with other things. So, that's really what it comes down to, is how do you know if it's endometriosis and what else it could possibly be. And I know I talked earlier and didn't end up elaborating on what other organs could be affected or ruined with having endometriosis. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. So, I was reading some different things this week and came across something that I thought was interesting in one of the groups, endometriosis groups. It talked about, someone posted about having endometriosis and having their appendix moved. It's like, endometriosis and the appendix removed. That's interesting. So, no, that did not happen to me. And it's something that I felt I needed to research some more, because it's like, what if you do have appendix problems with your endometriosis? Now, appendix is on the lower right, is on the right side of your lower abdomen. Now, it's on the right side of your lower abdomen. Now, I'm sure we have all gotten pain there. I've gotten pain in my lower right abdomen before. And sometimes, you know, you feel like the pain is, maybe it's close to ovulation. So maybe it's your time of the month. Maybe this, maybe that. But it does talk about endometriosis of the appendix. And it says that it's rare, with patients approximately it's happening in 2.8% of patients. But let's go back. 2.8% of patients. I feel like that number is probably low, because in the group that I am that talks about endometriosis, there were probably a good amount of women who went ahead, just in this one group, there was a good amount of women who said yes, that they had their appendix removed. So based on that small group, I would say of the women who answered, and probably this was the other day, I'm sure more women have answered at this point, I'm going to say probably 50 women replied when I was looking at it. And out of the 50 women, I'm going to say probably 50, a little over 50, maybe 55-60% at that point of women had said yes, they've had their appendix removed. There were more yeses than nos. They had it removed during their laparoscopic procedure. So that's intriguing to me. The appendix is getting removed due to endometriosis. Now, let's figure out exactly what this means. Okay, so you can have, this is interesting, you can have endometriosis on your appendix that can mimic symptoms of acute appendicitis. Sudden pain, we talked about that, worsens with movement, you feel nauseous, you might vomit, abdominal bloating, constipation, diarrhea, or fever. Also, you could have a loss of appetite. Now, really? This is really interesting. Abdominal bloating, endobelly, what we have with endometriosis. We do have constipation or diarrhea. Don't have a fever. Can feel nauseous, or sometimes, depending on, you know, what you have, if you have bowel endometriosis, you could vomit. So now we have endometriosis on the appendix, which is causing appendicitis problems, which is, which also makes me wonder how that really affects everything. If it affects my appendix, and I have appendicitis, will they correlate that to endometriosis? Or do they just remove your appendix and be like, oh, your appendix was bad, we took it out, and all of that? That is a question to be answered. Because it seems that you could have this issue, but let's just say you don't know that you have endometriosis. You haven't been diagnosed. It takes 7 to 10 years to be diagnosed. So maybe you haven't gotten diagnosed yet when you start having problems with your appendix. So they may not correlate that you have endometriosis. Now, a lot of the women that had it removed were saying that it was dying, or that the endometriosis was cutting off the blood flow. It was wrapped around. It was wrapped with some other organs. So that makes me wonder, how many people have had appendicitis and really they have endometriosis, but it wasn't connected? And how many women have endometriosis but their appendix is bad or has gotten worse and they don't know? So it's a very interesting dynamic between the two that I thought should be talked about, because it's honestly very scary. I have had really bad pains, and people ask, is it your appendix? Is it your appendix? And I'm thinking, oh, it's my, you know, I'm ovulating, it's my egg, or is this or is that? But it's very, very scary and something to think about, that your endometriosis could get that bad, or it could be on your appendix. I don't know. I don't remember it saying anything about, you know, it being on there. I know that at surgery they check it, and I mean at surgery they check to make sure that organ's there, I guess I should say. But it's something that's very concerning and actually very scary, and it's something that I have not heard about. Even when you read up on it and different things, there's always something new to learn. So it makes me wonder, what else does endometriosis affect? So it sounds like it is can be very, very aggressive in terms of, you know, someone said, actually said, you know, their appendix basically hadn't been working for a while because of endometriosis, something else. A few people said they hadn't had their appendix, but their gallbladder. Now, endometriosis is affecting the gallbladder? Huh. Now, this is where it gets really interesting. Now, supposedly, endometriosis of the gallbladder is extremely rare. But they think it's very rare for it to be in the gallbladder. But they're like, it can occur in the gastrointestinal tract. So, GI problems could be caused by having endometriosis there. Now, that's something to really think about. We have, a lot of us with endometriosis, myself included, have GI problems. Plus, I have endometriosis on the bowel too. But a lot of us have GI problems. So we have different heartburn symptoms. You could have heartburn, you could have the bloating, you could feel nauseous, you could vomit, just all types of things. So honestly, we've talked about endometriosis can affect different parts of your body. And now we're just seeing how it all comes together. Like, yes, you can have it in the GI. But who thought it's called intestinal endometriosis when it's in your gastrointestinal tract? FYI. But it talks about endometriosis of the gallbladder is rare. Well, again, out of those 50 women, I think maybe probably, I don't remember, 5 to 10 maybe, had their gallbladder removed because of that. And they're saying it's very rare. So I don't know how very rare it actually is, if in that small group of people, we had that many people. So it's just something else to be aware of and to question. So I'm all about knowledge and all of that. So everything is interconnected. What if we're not getting the diagnosis for 7 to 10 years? Endometriosis has all that time to grow and spread. Where, I mean, it can only go so many places. It can, of course, it goes all, I mean, it goes all in your uterus, get your ovaries, your fallopian tubes, all of that. But what if you've had it for many, many years and it's gone all those places? Like, maybe you have stage 4, it's gone all of those places. And then it starts going to other places. Maybe it's intertwined with, you know, maybe it's intertwined with your fallopian tubes and all of that. And it's already gotten to your ovaries and it's down in the, all of this. So it starts to go or grow other places. So my question is, are we actually looking to make sure when we're doing surgery, are we looking at all of the other organs, checking them to make sure endometriosis hasn't been there? Are we looking in the GI tract? Or are we just focusing on the particular areas? Are we focusing on the uterus? Are we focusing on the fallopian tubes, the ovaries, down in there? I don't know what the actual answer to that is. but I'm hoping that they are looking at it and that they are taking care of that, because what a scary feeling to have gallbladder problems, which is something that, you know, they talk about when you have GI problems really bad and pain on there. They do start talking about, your appendix or your gallbladder and all of this, when it could be endometriosis is on them causing these problems. So it's something that really needs to be looked at, and you should pay attention to it as well. More about the GI. So GI symptoms are as common as having gynecological symptoms in women with endometriosis. 90% of people diagnosed with endometriosis actually had GI symptoms as their initial symptoms. So GI problems are the most common in people with endometriosis. Of course it is. We've talked about some of the symptoms: bloating, diarrhea, constipation, painful bowel movements, nausea, and or vomiting. So it's very interesting. So, and it's not just and another thing, just because you have GI symptoms, that does not necessarily mean that is the location of endometriosis related to the bowel. So you can have GI symptoms with your endometriosis, but not actually have bowel endometriosis. So it can be, maybe it's close to it without being on it. But a lot of times it can infiltrate the bowel, which leads to more, painful bowel movements, constipation, and bloating. So it's something that seems to go hand in hand. So if you have these issues, if you're having problems, you feel like with your gallbladder or your appendix, or you're having GI problems, bowel problems. I know this firsthand. When you have GI and bowel problems, they are quick to say that you have IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, because they don't know what else to call it, honestly. They've run all the tests. You don't have, basically they're checking lists off. So you don't have this, you don't have that, you don't have this. So we just say it's irritable bowel to cover whatever it may be that we have not found out what it is. So they just lump it as you have IBS. So what happens when they do that is when you have issues and you come in and be like, oh, I'm having really bad bowel movements, this and that, then, the diagnosis of irritable bowel syndrome comes up. And they're like, oh, you've got irritable bowels, so your bowels are just irritated, and all of this are just kind of, we're not looking any further. We already know you have irritable bowel syndrome, so for the most part, they really just want to give you medicine and send you on your merry way. But honestly, a lot of times it's the endometriosis causing the IBS, so you really don't have IBS. So technically, they're giving you medicine. So they're giving you medicine for the IBS to help, the hope that that helps your symptoms. Well, your symptoms aren't really IBS. They're not really caused by IBS. You really don't have IBS. You have endometriosis, which is causing GI problems, and it's mimicking IBS. So the medicine they're giving you for IBS is not going to help you, because it's endometriosis. And endometriosis doesn't have a cure. It has treatment, but it doesn't have a cure. So if they're giving you when you have IBS, they want to give you, they could give you all types of things. But let's say they want to give you, Imodium or something. Or they tell you to take Imodium. You say, I'm having really bad bowel movements, this and that. So what they're going to do is they're going to tell you probably, okay, you're going to see a GI specialist, all of that. Depending on how old you are and when you had one, they're going to want to do a colonoscopy and probably an EGD just to double check. Make sure things are good. And for the most part, if they do that, depending on what they find, it goes from there. But, you know, if it's the endometriosis causing it, and the endometriosis may or may not be in the GI tract, or honestly, does the GI doctor know what endometriosis looks like to tell you that you have it? I don't know. Do they work closely together? They work closely together, but I don't know if they can identify what endometriosis is in the GI tract, since that's not their field of study. So you go get your EGD, the scope down the throat, looking in your stomach. Doesn't take that long, they put you to sleep. Colonoscopy is having a scope go up through your colon, look at your bowels, all of that. So depending on what your situation is, if you have endometriosis, for the most part, they're probably honestly not going to see it when you do your colonoscopy and EGD. So they're going to give you medicine. Maybe they'll tell you, maybe they'll take some Imodium, maybe that'll help you. They might tell you, they'll probably give you, depending on how bad you feel. If you feel nauseous, like I felt nauseous, they'll give you some nausea medicine. And, they might give you other medicines. They might prescribe something stronger, different things like that. It may not just be a medicine, maybe something different. So you're taking the medicine, or they're going to tell you there's nothing wrong with you and not give you anything. But let's just say that they give you Imodium or something like that. Okay, so will Imodium help you? And technically, your bowel is the problem, but the way they're going about it isn't. Like, what's basically, endometriosis is your situation. So we're not addressing the endometriosis by taking nausea medicine, Imodium, fiber, whatever else they may tell you to take. We're not addressing the endometriosis problem. So endometriosis honestly is not being addressed, so it can keep spreading, getting worse, coming back, all of that, because we're not addressing the actual issue. So if we're not addressing the issue, then we're not really fixing the problem. And I know, based on my operative report, I've talked about it, I have endometriosis on the bowel. I've had 2 colonoscopies in the last 5 years, and no, I'm not close to 50, anywhere close to 50. So in both of my colonoscopies, they never found anything, or it never stated anything about having a spot or whatever endometriosis on the bowel may look like to them. It didn't say anything about that. I didn't know anything about it until I had my laparoscopic procedure last year. Then it talks about I have endometriosis on the bowel. Why doesn't the GI doctor, why wouldn't you see that in the colonoscopy? They go up there, why would he not see it? Maybe they're not trained to look for endometriosis. Maybe they don't know what endometriosis looks like on the bowel. So what I'm saying is, you could be having all these issues, but it's all related to endometriosis. Like, I have bowel issues, stomach issues, all of that. And after reading more about it, and then honestly what I read up on the other day about the appendix and gallbladder and all of that, and IBS, just confirms what I knew all along. Endometriosis affects your whole body and causes more issues than most doctors probably realize, and they may not look for. So they are automatically sending you to GI and all of that. Yes, it's good to get checked out by GI, but 2 colonoscopies in 5 years is a bit much, as well as 2 EGDs. And you're not finding anything, but my symptoms and pain and all of that are not getting any better. So there comes a time where you're not getting any better. You keep going to the doctor. They keep throwing tests and medicine with you, where the medicine's not really going to help you, because that's not your problem. Endometriosis is. And you may or may not know you have endometriosis. Maybe you have not gone to have a to have your laparoscopic procedure yet. Maybe you don't even know about endometriosis. Maybe you've never even talked about endometriosis. So you're having all of these issues thinking, I have irritable bowel, I have this, I have that. But it could simply be you have endometriosis and it's causing all these problems. And that, whatever that medicine is not helping, because that's not the treatment you need. I'm going to stress this, and it's something I'm in the process of doing. Honestly, if you have endometriosis, I am really going to stress that you go to an endometriosis specialist. Because that's their specialty. Like, when you have bowel problems and all of that, stomach problems, you go to GI, endometriosis specialist, they can help you. I've heard so many people talk about that. Now, I have not been to an endometriosis specialist because there's not one in my area. Like, there's not one in my state. There's one, I don't know if they're a specialist, but they are an endometriosis office. I mean, they have one that's on in the state next to me, like, what is it, 4 or 5 hours away? They have some around me, they have endometriosis doctors, but there are some that are endometriosis specialists, and it seems like those are in your bigger cities, like major cities. So that's something that I'm working on, to try to go see one of them to see what they can really do. My bowels really aren't getting any better, and I'm tired of having colonoscopies because you're not finding anything and that's not helping me. And I talked about, I know in the last episode, about period cycles and bowels. If you're having bowel problems, I really implore you to keep track of that. I know that I have, and I have noticed around my period, before and a little after, that my bowels do flare up more around that time. Not to say that there are not other times that they flare up, but that's particularly one of the time. So I know around that time, yes, I'm probably going to have more bowel movements. It's going to be more painful, I'm going to feel nauseous, all of that. So I'm mindful of it. Can I prevent it? No, I can't. But I can understand that's what's going on with my body, and know that during that time, I'm going to, maybe I can't, like, for example, I like to go for walks. So if I know my bowel movements are going to act up more on the time of my period, maybe that means I'm taking shorter walks. So if I'm having bowel problems, I can't go on a 6-mile walk because I'm too far from the bathroom, and with everything going on with the pandemic, It's not like I can go in somewhere and go to the restroom. So maybe if I'm having bowel problems, maybe I say I'm going to do a mile or a 2 mile walk and, you know, come back home. If I feel better after that and don't feel nauseous, maybe I can go back out and do another 2 miles or whatever it may be. But exercise is so important in your overall health, and it does help with endometriosis. It helps with endometriosis in terms of some symptoms sometimes. Like if you're having, like I remember one day I was just feeling really, really horrible and felt nauseous and all that, but I really wanted to go for a walk and I was already ready to go. And I'm like, well, I'm going to try to go. And that day I did, I was able, you know, I didn't have any other problems, but I was able to push myself 6 miles and I did not still feel bloated. I didn't feel nauseous. So it can really help with all of that. So that's just, I know it's a whole lot of information, but I wanted everyone to know that endometriosis can affect the appendix, the gallbladder, and can be the cause of your IBS that the doctor tells you that you have and have to do procedures. And again, I can't stress how important going to a doctor with endometriosis training is. Yes, some doctors know about endometriosis, gynecologists and all of that, but they know along that with everything. Endometriosis specialists, that's all they specialize in, is endometriosis. They're not delivering babies. They're not doing this. They're just focused on endometriosis, which is what we need to find a cure or to find what works for our bodies. That's what we need. We need a specialist. And I do apologize and know that for some of you, like myself, that's going to be a struggle, meaning you've got to take a trip, depending on where it is. You might have to stay overnight for the additional cost. And I apologize about that. But I feel like, personally, for me, the cost, the inconvenience, the hotel, the rental car, all of that, the flight, if I have to fly there, all of that I feel like is worth it to get better treatment for endometriosis. It's not something that's going away. And I, honestly, based on the different locations I had it and having it on my bowel, the doctor didn't tell me, but what I read up, that's stage 4. So that's the highest stage there is. So for me to continue doing what I want to do and not having endometriosis affect me, I feel like the investment to go to an endometriosis specialist is worth it for me. When I finally get to go, I will, of course, have an episode and talk about it and tell you all that information. But that is all I'm going to say on that subject right now, because I have a little time left. I want to talk about something else that is just the greatest. So I started my podcast exactly 1 year ago. So it is the 1 year anniversary of Endometriosis Journey to Butterfly podcast. Yay! I'm so excited. So I started this journey, honestly, to educate, talk about it. Endometriosis is something that is hard to talk about, and it's not okay. Basically, when you talk to somebody about endometriosis, most people don't know what it is, so you have to tell them that you have endometriosis, and you have to explain exactly what endometriosis is, because most people do not know. So then they're going to ask questions, and there are days that maybe you don't want to answer all these questions or talk about. But I decided I had, honestly, I feel like my podcast is therapeutic, honestly. It's therapeutic and helpful. It's therapeutic for me because I can talk about some things that I'm going on with me. And it can be listened to by people who understand. I honestly don't. I have a large family, so I'm sure that there are other people who have it, if 1 in 10 have it. I don't know anyone else. I did have someone in my family that had it, but I don't know if anyone else does. So the person I know has since passed away. So I really didn't get to have a conversation with them about it. So I don't know who else has it. I'm assuming other people do if it's 1 in 10 and I have a large family. But I don't just go around and talk about it with people personally all the time. I decided to share my journey doing a podcast. I feel like, one, it helps to get it all out because endometriosis is stressful. I feel like no one understands. It's just good to talk to others about it. So I feel like me getting it out is good. And then hopefully I am educating all of you, so you learn things, do new things. And I hope that you share your story with me. Or if you don't want to share it with me, hopefully you share your story with someone else. Because chances are you do know many people probably that have endometriosis. And a lot of them just don't come forward and talk about it. Because why do I want to talk about endometriosis? I decided that I was going to stop feeling like I can't talk about it. That's one of the reasons I did the podcast, but mainly it was education. I wanted to inform others and educate them on things I wish I knew about endometriosis. I found out about endometriosis. I first heard the term endometriosis possibly 15 years ago in 2005. So that's when I first heard about endometriosis. Other than that, I hadn't heard of it before. And the doctor was like, I think you may have endometriosis. Basically gave me a laparoscopic procedure pamphlet. And, you know, I read it. Oh, we cut into your belly button, we go in, all of this. Honestly, hadn't had surgery at this point, hadn't had surgery before, and I've never had surgery like laparoscopic before, I'll tell you that much. So that was like really my first major surgery. So, you know, so we're reading that. I've never had, you know, I was young. I was in my 20s, so having surgery, having them go cut your belly button and be just, I just feel like my uterus, ovaries, fallopian tube, that is sacred. That's where your baby, you know, that's like the baby area, I feel like, and all of that, that's just so personal. It's like, I mean, I read about it and all this. I remember I taught my boyfriend at the time. I remember I mentioned something to him. And you know, he's like, oh, surgery, you know, if that's what you want to do, all of that. And honestly, I felt, you know, he was on board with the surgery. You know, he's like, that'll make you feel better, all that. You know, honestly, I felt like it was for selfish reasons, also. I feel like that he wanted to, for me to have the surgery. And I'm just like, you know, I wasn't there and all of that. So I just was like, whatever. So, you know, I was on birth control, had been on birth control at that point probably for a few years, based on severe cramping, heavy periods. So basically, endometriosis symptoms. Didn't know it at the time. So I was already doing, I was already experiencing all of that. So I saw this doctor, and, he told me I have endometriosis. And I'm like, okay, he gave me, the pamphlet and all of that. But it was, in the back of my mind because I was scared to have the surgery. I don't know what would happen. I've never had surgery. That's just such a personal space. Anything can happen. So it's just a whole big thing. So I kind of put it in the back of my mind. So, I was taking the pill, but, I would get off sometimes just because I wanted to. Because it's stupid to be taking the birth control pill. I didn't like it. But all of that. Part of me wondered, what my journey would have been if I would have had surgery way back then when he talked about. But then I think about it. My journey would not have me where I am. I know for a fact, if I would have had surgery back then, I would not have done podcasts. Podcasts weren't available. I probably wouldn't have talked about it. Probably would have had the surgery, been on my merry way and all of that. So I wouldn't have a podcast. I would not be advocating for women's health. I would not be a motivational speaker speaking about endometriosis. I would not be I wouldn't be sharing my story about endometriosis in an upcoming book. I would not be writing a book about endometriosis. So all of these different things would not have come about if I would have gotten surgery back then. It would have changed my life in different ways. But in terms of endometriosis and sharing about it, it definitely would. We never know what might happen. Maybe it would have changed my life personally. Different things like that. But I know for a fact I wouldn't be trying to do the things that I'm doing today. Want to have, big portion. I said, last one that I wanted to do a journal to keep track of endometriosis. I think that's something that's needed. I want to do merchandise. I want to do a whole bunch of things. And I'm hoping that you will all come along on the journey with me. I don't have the merchandise or anything yet. I'm currently working on that. Books, supposed to come out early next year, so keep you informed on that. Not sure when the journal will come out, but I'll let you know about that as well. But I do, we have kind of funny. Things take place in different ways. So my whole thing is about educating people. People are unique and all of that. So I need to get those out. Also, I've been writing some just different PDFs about endometriosis and just some different things like that that I will be selling as well. I need to get the get everything put together on the website, and I will put the website on here and I will talk about it as well. At this point, I just know I feel like one of the things that I got from the whole endometriosis journey, which really has not started to really connect until the last so many months, was a business. I do have a business I don't think I've ever shared. I make jewelry design. It's one of many things that I do. But I feel like my jewelry is something that's unique and different, like all of us. And to advocate for, endometriosis, speaking up for yourself, all of that, being unique, and all of that takes sticking up for yourself. It all kind of ties in with my jewelry, because my jewelry is all one of a kind. No two pieces look alike unless you do a custom piece. And that's something that was started shortly after I was told about endometriosis. So I didn't have surgery, but I ended up finding a outlet to be creative and all of that. My business, I do have it on the page on here, but it's Standout Style. I would love for you to take a look, see what you think, see what you like. And one of the things is that I am going to start giving back, honestly, to endometriosis. So, sales from my book, my clothes. I might even do some jewelry. I'm definitely going to do books and clothes. It's going to go back to the Endometriosis Association, because I feel like we are not going to get a cure, get faster testing, get answers if we don't support what we believe in. And honestly, I believe 100% in endometriosis, endometriosis funding. Endometriosis Association is great. They do a lot of different things. I really, really wanted to go to their event this year. They have a patient day and just some other great speakers. I really wanted to go because I found out about it this year. But of course, we're in a pandemic and it got canceled. So I'm hoping to go next year, but I love doing the podcast. I can't believe it's been a year. I will definitely keep putting out more episodes. I hope that you will listen, and it's just, I am just so overwhelmed and humbled by all of the listeners, so I want to thank you all. Listeners in 39 different countries, which is just mind-blowing to me. And also, another milestone that I hit today, honestly, which I feel is ironic, is I have 1,500 views. And it's just so... I'm just so humbled, and thank you so much for tuning in. Hopefully you have shared with people, and it's like my podcast, I share it, but I don't share it as much as I should, and I'm trying to get a website, social media, and everything up for it. It's become quite a journey, and I just love sharing knowledge and all of that. And like I said before, this podcast isn't all about me. It's all about educating you and taking you on my journey. And actually you hearing someone who knows on some level what you're going through. Not everyone understands the endometriosis journey, but I definitely do. And I've been on it for a while. And you know, just I hope that everything is going well for everyone, and that, you know, we find a cure. We need a cure. That's what we need, is a cure for endometriosis. Again, I thank everyone for tuning in to this special episode. Oh, I can't believe it's been one whole year of Endometriosis Journey to Butterfly. 1 year, this is the 27th episode, 1,500 views, 39 different countries. I feel like I'm making a difference for you guys. Please let me know if that's the case. Let me know what you want to hear. If you ever want to be a guest, I'm open to that. Email me, my email's on there. I just look forward to hearing from you. So, as always, Endometriosis Journey to Butterfly is twice a month, every other week. So our next episode will be Saturday, October 3rd at 12:45 p.m. and that's Central Standard Time. Well, as always, thank you for tuning in. I hope you have an amazing day, and I thank all of you for my 1 year anniversary with Endometriosis Journey to Butterfly. Talk to you soon. Bye.